Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. This is season 4. We're in episode 36. Hey, y'all. So this title is No More Schoolmaster. We're going to talk about it. But first, you know, for those of y'all who are returning, we always start this episode off with prayer. We always start the episodes off with prayer because I need all the prayer I can get because I need the Holy Spirit to show up and show out on this podcast. So for those of you who are new, welcome. But we about to pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Father God. I thank you for each and every listening ear. Thank you, Father God, for each and every open heart. Father, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your mercy and your grace today. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Father God. I thank you so much for your glory, Father God, that you shine upon each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for your love, your everlasting love. And Father God, I thank you for your wisdom that we can use your wisdom. We can tap into it, Father God, as we go through the scriptures to learn more about you and how much you care for us. Father God, I thank you so much for opening our eyes, Father God, so we may behold wonderful things out of your law. So Father, I thank you. And I ask that you bless this podcast, bless this episode, Father God, and let your will be done in the hearts of each and every person who listens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. So I hope y'all had a great week, and I hope your week coming is blessed. This is the week before Thanksgiving that we're getting ready to go into. And y'all, I don't know about you, but this is my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. It's just, I don't know. I think it's the fact that it's like the last major holiday of the fall, because like football is a holiday here in the South. Like it's an outstretched holiday in the South. And so it's like Thanksgiving is like the high point for football in the South. And I know we have the Super Bowl. I get it. But I'm talking about college football, y'all. South is college football. But Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Because I don't know, it's just a time to be with family. It's a time to be with your loved ones. And also it's like, I feel like it's the only holiday that you really can invite everybody over. Even if it's not your family, you tell your coworkers, come on over to the house. We're going to have plenty of food. It's not that you wouldn't do that for Christmas, but Christmas is more so personal, like your immediate family. But Thanksgiving is an everybody holiday. I mean, we even have what we call Friendsgiving. You know, you have Thanksgiving with your friends. Like, it's just a holiday that is so inclusive of everyone. I love Thanksgiving because it's like, it's just a cozy time. You know, like, it's cozy. You can start watching Christmas movies and nobody, like, some people will judge. But I've been watching Christmas movies ever since we got in November. It's my time, okay? I didn't put a tree up. I don't know if I am going to put a tree up. I don't know. It's like ever since I got my dog, it's not that I won't put a tree up, but I get concerned about her being at home alone with that tree for hours. It's like she get a wild hair put behind every so often, and I come home and I'm like, what did you do? And she's just looking like I couldn't help myself. So I just rather not do that with her. So yeah, I might go without a tree again. I get a little miniature tree. I thought about it because Target had one on sale for like $30. I was like, that might be the tree, but I don't know. If I get it, I might put it in my room instead of in the living room. But anyway, so I actually can't be on that long. Y'all, I tried to wake up this morning. I actually stayed home from work Friday because my body was about to shut down on me. Like, it does that around this time of year. It's like, all right, we tired. Close shop. It's time to close up shop. So my body was just like, we're tired. Stay home. And I actually had a student come to school with the flu. And I'm like, baby, why are you here? Why would you come? You got the flu. So I said, let me stay home and make sure I'm rested and I'm good before I go back to work. So I stayed home Friday and I got a lot of rest. Like, y'all, when I got home Thursday, What time did I get home Thursday? About 4 o'clock. I didn't do anything else, but I got home Thursday around 4, and I think I slept until sometime Friday. That's how tired I was and dehydrated, very much dehydrated. So it was like, yeah, I'm glad I took that day because I needed it. So I'm, you know, bright eyed, bushy tailed, as the old folks say. And I'm ready to get back to work and finish this week out strong. But I hope y'all had a great week. I hope y'all are resting and staying hydrated, because viruses are going around. People are getting sick. And rest and hydration is the key. It's the key. And, of course, what you're eating. But, anyway, if y'all hearing the noise, it's the people who live next door to me. I wasn't going to talk about it. But it's like, I don't know why people are really rude and disrespectful. And I just want y'all, it's like, until you've met people who you have already told them, like, hey, could you not do this, you know, like, could you kind of not do, and they continue to do it. It's like, there's no talking to you, because it's like, I really do believe you have some kind of, you have a lack of a connection in your brain. Because I don't understand how I could ask somebody not to do something, or to do something as an adult, and you look me in my face, nod your head, but you continue doing what you want to do. So it's like, you're a special case. I don't get paid to work off the clock. I'm still certified in special education. I don't get paid to pay, you know, to deal with that off the clock. And that's no, you know, I highly respect people, because I'm pretty sure I'm on the spectrum somewhere. I was in that time period before we had the letters and things like that. But it's like, come on. Like, I'm asking nicely. Like, we're adults. I pay, you know, I bought, this is my home, that's your home. We both pay a mortgage. Like, have some respect. This is my property line, that's your property line. No. Okay. Bless your heart. So anyway, if y'all hear noise, it's the people next door. It's the people next door. So, God bless them. Anyway, but no, I can't be on that long because a close friend of mine, she lost her son the day after his 34th birthday. He was the oldest in the family, and just shouts out to them. Love them so much. And they're having a memorial visitation tonight, and then they'll have the actual service tomorrow. So being that I'll be at work tomorrow, I gotta make sure I get there tonight. And it's from 6 to 8, so it's already like almost 5:30. But yeah, I want to jump into this word. I've been studying Galatians for the past couple of weeks, and this is just something that stuck out to me. It's in Galatians chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So to dissect this, and all my Bible scholars out there, please remember, I did not go to Bible school like you did, okay? But I remember my pastor taught on this, and it just always stuck out to me, like the word schoolmaster, you know, like it's a schoolmaster. And I actually looked it up, and I can't remember what it said, but a schoolmaster, y'all hear me typing, is the head of a school, or it could be a male educator. The term can also be used figuratively to describe anything that disciplines or instructs. Okay. Anything that disciplines or instructs. Okay. So that's what the law was. If you don't know what the law is, the law was the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were put in place for us to realize that we cannot do this without God. Like, come on. Because the Bible literally tells us, let me pull that verse up, because that's a very important verse that everybody needs to hear. Let me see if I typed it in right. Okay, James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Y'all. What? So if you can keep all the Ten Commandments, which is impossible. Like, no, actually, I'm not going to say it's impossible. You could probably keep all Ten Commandments. I don't know how you would do that. I don't know how you could keep all Ten Commandments. You could probably, but I'll say this. You could probably keep all Ten Commandments for about 30 seconds. Your body is probably going to let you do it for about 30 seconds. And if we pull up the Ten Commandments, let's review what the law is. The Ten Commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Keep the Sabbath day holy. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. No guys before me. You shall not covet. You shall not kill. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's only 9. Hold on. Wait a minute now. We missing. Okay. I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not take the name. Oh, you should not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember to keep this holy. Keep holy the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie against them. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Okay? So, those are all Ten Commandments. You shall not have any gods before God. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You will remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You should not kill. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. You should not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Ten Commandments. Now, you may be asking, how is it that if I offend in one area, I'm guilty of them all? That's because they're all interconnected. Okay? Now, and I'm going to show you prime example. Today is Sunday, right? It's the fall. I just talked about how football is a holiday down here in the southern hemisphere of the United States. It's some people who won't go to church because they got to watch their football game. And they're not missing. They are not going to miss the football game for church. Okay. So, you know what that is? First of all, you didn't remember to keep holy the Sabbath day, which is setting a time apart for God. You didn't do that. Why don't you go to church? Okay, so you didn't keep that day holy. So you broke that commandment, which then also ties into you should not have any other gods beside him. You worshiping football. See, those two, you broke one, which you actually put football before God. So we'll say that. But you also did not keep the Sabbath day holy. So you broke two. It's a two for one. Okay, so you are not... You broke all of them, basically. They're interconnected. If you're going to break one, you're going to break all of them. So, if you didn't honor your father and mother, you're disobedient to them, they might have taught you the Ten Commandments. They might have taught you the way to go. You go and steal something. That's disobeying your parents because they probably taught you not to steal. So, you've already stolen something. You put something before God because you were obviously idolizing something that you wanted to steal. You stole that thing because you were idolizing it. So you have put another God before God. You disobeyed your parents. You stole. And you were coveting something that belonged to somebody else. That's why you stole. Like, you broke like 3 or 4 commandments right there just from stealing. You see what I'm saying? Like, you... And this is not... You know what the Holy Spirit had to deal with me on? The Holy Spirit had to deal with me on the fact that this is not just a physical thing. This is also spiritual. This is also something. Like, you can actually kill somebody with your words. You don't have to kill somebody physically. You can kill their character with your words. You can murder somebody. How many people have you murdered this week with your words? Gossiping is a form of murder too. Yeah. All a gossiper is somebody who is misusing their gift. A gossip is someone who's misusing their gift. That's basically what that person. But you kill somebody by gossiping about them. You see? So the commandments, you may actually stand before the Lord like, I never killed anybody. I never did any. And God will go, yes, you did. Yes, you did. And just because you don't say it, just because you hide it in your heart, or you think you're hiding in your heart, God still sees your heart. Remember, God told Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. He is a God of hearts. He looks at hearts. He looks at motives. Okay? Like, I'm telling you, like, it's not a game. It is not a game. So, if you offend in one, you have offended in all, according to James chapter 2 and verse 10. But in Galatians chapter 3, we also see, before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The faith that should be revealed came through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so until Jesus came into the earth, remember there was like a span of about 400 years between the last chapter of the Old Testament and chapter Matthew. Okay. It was silence. There was no more prophecy given. There was no more prophecy given. It was silence. Okay. So they were under the law the whole time, still sacrificing animals, still doing all of this. When Jesus came, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. So there was no more sacrifice given because Christ paid it all on the cross. I know we like to try to use that for our bills, but it's not the same transaction. Okay. I'm like, Jesus paid it all. Yeah. AT&T and Georgia Power. Like, no, give us our money. So, when Jesus came, he paid it all. He paid for all of our sin on the cross. So when Jesus came, that's when the faith entered the chat, as the kids say, faith entered the chat. So in verse 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is what we recognize, like, okay, this is why I need Jesus, because I'm a sinner. I can't do this. I can't do it. Y'all know how many thoughts go through my mind? It would be, y'all, some people going to hell just because of their thoughts alone. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I would probably be one of those people. I think about everything and anything that ain't got I don't know where them thoughts. It's like I'm all over the place in my head. Probably need to be on some Medicaid. I probably do, but that's not the point. Just all over the place, thinking about clouds, thinking about ladybug, like just thinking about stuff, just thinking about everything instead of putting my focus on God. Like, just focus on God. Focus on God. Y'all should hear me when I'm praying. I be praying, and it's like, it just veer off to the right, veer off to the left. Where you going, sis? Come back, you know? So maybe some of you know what I'm talking about, but the schoolmaster, the law, was there to bring us unto Christ. And remember, schoolmaster is defined as anything that disciplines or instructs. There is a verse in the Bible. I can't remember which book. It might be Galatians. But it says, basically, we didn't even know that we were sinning. If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know what we were doing is wrong. And that's true. Because if you think about it, you have to teach children you have to teach them structure and discipline. You have to teach them things. Because if you're not teaching them, they're not going to know that it's wrong to do it. If you don't tell them, look, you don't tell people they're fat, they're going to go into Walmart and embarrass you. Hey, fatty. You know, like, they're going to... Yeah, you're fat. You know, like, they're going to, you're ugly. You have to teach children to be nice. If they weren't taught, they're going to speak their mind. That's why we have to train up a child in the way they should go. You got to train them. Okay. So the law basically was training us. Okay. These are the things that you do not do. Remember, I have also mentioned that those are not the only commandments in the Bible. Those are just the ones that everything fall under. Okay. Because you also have commandments, where you are to study to show yourself, approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You also have a commandment, study to be quiet, which some of us still fail that test. Okay. You also have commandment of do not, Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's a commandment. And the reason why I'm saying those are commandments is because those are commandment statements according to English law and rules. In English, you have three types of sentences. You have declarative, interrogative, and command. Declaring is like, I'm going to the store. Interrogative is, did you go to the store? Command is, go to the store. Okay? So those are the three types of sentences you have in English. Like, you have other sentences, but those are the three types of structure. You know what I'm saying? So with that being the case, there are several thousand other commands in the Bible. It's just that the Ten Commandments are the basic ones that everything else lines up under. Okay? All the other commands can line up under one of those Ten Commandments. So with that being the case, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. To be justified by faith means to be made right. The best example I have ever heard was my pastor saying that justification, if you think about a word processing system like Google Docs or Microsoft Word, when you go to justify, you have a right justification, center justification, left justification, but then you have full justification. Full justification means that everything is even on both sides, not just on one side. Left justification lines everything up on the left-hand side. Right justification lines everything up on the right-hand side, center in the center. But full justification lines everything up even on both sides. So therefore, when Christ came, he lined us up right under him. Praise God, right? So verse 25 says, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. As of right now, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. The Ten Commandments do not, we don't have to live under that. Every time we say, okay, we got to go sacrifice a bull. We don't do that anymore. We have Jesus. And we're not under the schoolmaster. We're not under that watchful, that the law was a burden. It was a burden. It was a burden because it didn't give us any hope. Like, there is no way. Like, there is no way. And the thing is, if you broke one, you broke them all. What kind of life is that to live? You know, that's hopeless. But when Christ came, he gave us hope that we could live. And we have this freedom in him. And that's what it says in Galatians chapter 5. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In the Amplified, it says, it was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you once removed. And we were removed from the yoke of slavery through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When you sin, you put the yoke of bondage back on you. You get entangled with that again. You remember that word, entanglement was a big thing a couple of years ago for other reasons. But you won't be entangled anymore with the yoke of bondage. You like Christ set us free with that. We don't have to sin. We choose to sin at this point. Every time we sin, it's a choice now. It's not like we never knew Christ. We didn't have this relationship. We didn't have this hope of glory living in us. We were like, oh, I'm just doing because this is what my body wants to do. No, you have your body does not have rule over you anymore. You are now a child of God. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Christ, and you are open. You have access to every promise that is in this Bible, that every promise in the Bible belongs to you because you're a joint heir with Christ. Okay. So because of that, we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We choose to walk in darkness every time we sin. We choose that. Why are we choosing to do that? It's crazy. Cause our flesh is crazy. I always say our flesh is like a goldfish. It's just going to keep eating until it dies. It's going to do whatever. It's going to do what it wants to do until it kills itself. That's literally what's going to happen with the flesh. That's what our flesh does. And think, if you ever had a goldfish, you know the goldfish ain't going to stop eating unless you stop feeding it. It's just going to keep eating. If you keep feeding the goldfish, it's literally going to eat itself to death. That's what your flesh is going to do. Your flesh will literally kill you. And then wonder why you did that. So it's like you literally have to put yourself, that's why the Bible tells us that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's what we're to do. We're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is hard to kill. It won't stay on the altar. It'll keep getting back up. So we're tasked to bring our bodies under subjection. Like Paul said, let me find it. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul says, but I keep under my body. He said, I keep under my body, which is insane work, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I have to stay up under this body, stay up under this flesh, and bring it in. I got to bring it into subjection. Because if I don't, I'm going to go out and preach this word, and then I'm going to get tempted and run right into sin. I'm going to walk into it, and then I'll be a castaway. Because that's how fast, y'all don't understand, there have been mighty moves of God that have happened in my church. Right when I'm in the sound booth, this is years ago, this ain't nothing recent, this is years ago. I mean, people on the floor and felt the presence of God. Oh my gosh, can't even, it's one of those where the presence and weight, the weight of God's presence is so heavy, you can't even sit up. You can't sit up. You just got to stay prostrate on the floor. Like those kind of services. And as soon as I'm out of the church, hey, what you doing? What? What? Lord, use me mightily. What are you doing? That's how fast the flesh. Y'all, I'm probably going to get hit as soon as this podcast over. I got to stay up under my body. I got to. I have to have Jesus cover me at all times. I almost tripped and fell in my office yesterday, and I could feel a push to get me back stable. And I had to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the angels that just pushed me over. I got to have security detail on my life at all times by these angels. I need every angel in heaven to cover me and my family because I'm doing this podcast, because the warfare is real. I mean, attacks left and right. I'm talking about temptation that it's like, I am going to die. I'm just going to go ahead. I feel like I'm walking in the fire. Like those kind of temptation, like level temptation like that. Like what? But Jesus tells us in the word that there is no temptation that is taking you that is such as common to man. There hath no temptation taking you that is such as common to man. There, with every temptation, God provides an escape. And I have to remember that. It's just, I got to choose that. Because at this point, for me to go sin, it's a choice. I literally have to walk out of the protection of God to go sin. That's crazy. And then also, when you think about it, God told us that no man can pluck his sheep from his hand. He said, nobody can take you from my hand. So what does that mean? That means we can walk out of his hand. We can walk out of that provision. We can walk out of that security. We can walk out of his protection. Because it's a choice for us now. But we really do not have to sin. The Ten Commandments are there to remind us that we cannot do this without Jesus. We have to have Jesus. And so, whew, y'all, it's so much here. We might have to do a part two to this because, I was going to say something too. I was going to make an episode, but I feel like I need to have one of my friends on here with me because she and I were having a discussion about it, but I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to set that up I have another microphone, but I don't know how that will work. I have to work on the logistics of it, but we were talking about purity culture and with this, it reminds me of the conversation we were having. And I said, we just need to cancel purity culture, period. Like, you need to cancel that, because that was the worst thing, I believe, that could have happened to the women in the body of Christ, millennial women in the body of Christ. And some people will completely disagree with me, and that's fine. That's fine. But literally, purity culture was like a schoolmaster to us, and it felt like if we checked off all these boxes, God was going to bless us with a husband once we did all of the things on the checklist. And it was crazy. It was a crazy time to be alive. And it's like, when I think about it, it was really heavy on me this morning. And I'm just like, and I know I've talked to y'all about, you know, I'm getting ready to turn 40 in January and stuff. And just looking back over my life, I've done a lot of reflection this year on my walk with Christ and how far I've come in my walk with Christ and everything that I've been through. And that was just one thing that I thought about. And it has really, it messed me up mentally, because, and when I say mentally, like, I'm not mentally jacked up or anything, but it does, it programmed your brain to think that if you did X, Y, Z, God is going to send your spouse. And I still catch myself drifting into that. I actually heard a sermon by Pastor Dr. Tony Evans this morning when I was getting ready for church. And he was saying how we're not supposed to be attached to the things of this world. We're not supposed to be attached to the things of this world. That's why when God shakes our circumstances and situations up, when he shakes things, it's because he's speaking to us and he has to shape things to get our attention. And so the reason why we flip our lids when he shakes things is because we've gotten too attached to the worldly things, or to the things of this world, of this earth realm, instead of being attached to the things of the heavenly realm. And so he used the example of flying in an airplane. He said if it's an earthquake, people on the airplane are not shaken by that because they're in the air. He said we're supposed to be what is the scripture? It says be set to have your focus set on heaven and not on things on the earth. So, but you don't want to be too heavenly minded that you're no earthly good either. So remember that. But I was thinking about how it was almost like a work-based thing. And for me, having gone through the trauma I went through, it's like I was a performer. And it's like, this year, like I said, I've been doing a lot of reflection and retrospect on my life. And I realized I was a people pleaser. Didn't know that until I had to sit with the Lord. And like, yeah, you a people pleaser. Yeah. Yeah, you are. Because you'll sacrifice what I've given you to please others. And that's idol worship. Didn't realize it. Or either I would make myself their idol, or I tried to make myself their idol. So they had to come to me for whatever it was. And it's like, whoa, didn't realize that, but that was a stem of the trauma. See, with trauma, with sitting with yourself, you realize that we're nothing but a bunch of onions. We are. We're nothing but a bunch of onions, because like, why do we do that? We have so many layers. There are so many layers attached to another layer that we don't even realize until we actually stop moving and just sit still in his presence. And then he could tell us. But the problem is, we're so busy with this day and age of technology that we don't sit still. We don't do any of that. So therefore, we just constantly move because it makes us uncomfortable to sit. It makes us uncomfortable to acknowledge who we truly are. So therefore, we distract ourselves with our phones. We distract ourselves with going out to eat or hanging out with people. We don't want to sit still in his presence because we know he's going to tell us about ourselves. Mm. So anyway, yeah, and I'm not knocking. I understand. Hear my heart. I understand where they were coming from with the purity culture. I get it. They wanted to promote abstinence. They wanted to promote abstinence and waiting until marriage. I get that. I'm all for that. I am all for that. But they didn't go about it the right way because it was mostly teenage girls in those little meeting session things. They harped on the teenage girls waiting to get married. Okay, when you wait, God is going to send you your husband. Where are the guys? Where were the brothers in Christ? The young brothers in Christ. The young brothers in Christ, they get a ring, even though they may not have attended all the sessions, but nobody really gets on their case about waiting until marriage. So they're out here sowing their royal oats or whatever it is you want to call it. But you got all these girls who are waiting until marriage, and then by the time they get 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 35, 36, why am I doing what? Wait a minute, where's my husband? Where my husband? Like, I remember catching myself like, okay, well, I think I was on a I was abstinent. I was practicing abstinence. This was a couple of years ago when I was still like very immature, not even realizing what to who I was in Christ. And I was like, okay, I've been good for about a year or so. Where's my husband? Like, what? I've been good for like a year or so. So where's my husband? I ain't do nothing in a year, so I should be getting my husband soon. I really said that in my heart. I was like, I know God is like laughing at me, like, child, you might as well hang that up. Like, I know God was laughing at me. Like, I know He was. And seriously, I was so serious. I was like, well, I've been good for about a year, so my husband should be coming. You know what came? A distraction. One of Satan's sons. One of the sons of Pharaoh. And I thought it was him, and it wasn't, because I'm like, well, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Not having a clue of what waiting actually meant, not having a clue of what it means to be fully abstinent. See, you can be abstinent in body, but not abstinent in spirit or your mind. You can still be engaging in things that are not of God in your mind or in your heart. That's the problem. That's the problem. See, we got to be circumcised. And see, we got to be circumcised. That means God got to cut some stuff off from us. Ooh. God got to cut stuff off from us. And it's not, and the thing is, whatever it is that you're praying for, like, everybody knows, y'all have heard it several times. I want a family. Like, I want a family. But am I allowing God to cut the things off necessary for me to go into that season? And furthermore, have I really submitted to God's will for my life? Because what if God's will for my life is not to have a family? What if He wants me to be another Apostle Paul? I don't know about Apostle Paul. That's a lot. But you know what I'm saying? Like, what if God wants me to be by myself with no children, no husband, just me and my dog for as long as He allows me to have her? What if this is it? What if this is it? Am I okay with that? And honestly, it don't matter if I'm okay with it or not. Have I submitted myself to God's will for my life? See, sometimes submitting to God's will for your life is doing the things that you never thought that you would be doing, whether it's something that you wanted to do or something that you totally did not see yourself doing at all, and you don't like it. It's submitting. There are plenty of, I mean, I've asked my students to do things in the classroom. Okay, baby, you got to go back and rewrite that paragraph because that's garbage. It's awful. It's awful. I'm not grading that, because if I grade that, you're going to get an F. You got to go back and rewrite it. They didn't want to rewrite it, but they had to submit. They hated the process. I have had students write me letters or write me cards. Miss Cooper, I hated doing the writing. I hated the fact that you corrected me so hard. But I'm so grateful that you did it. I'm glad that I did it with you. Like, do you know how big that is? That's big. And I feel like a lot of it, even with us walking away from Christ to go sin, it's because we won't submit. It's a scripture that people only say half of it. People only say half of it. And I noticed that, and I remember Joyce Meyer pointed it out. It's in 1 Peter. No. I take that back. I'm sorry. It is. Hold on. Hold on, I'm trying to find it, y'all. Okay, here it is. James, it was right in front of my face. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to submit yourself to God first. That's the problem. We won't submit. We will not submit. In order to resist the devil, see, we always want to recite, resist the devil and he will flee from you, but we forget about the whole, it's a whole sentence. It's a sentence before that part. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Period. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to submit yourself to God first. You have to submit yourself to God first. And I think that is the major thing in that the purity culture was missing, is telling us that we have to submit to God first. You have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We were told, don't fornicate, give your bodies to Christ. This, like, it was a bunch of rules. It was a schoolmaster to keep us in check. It was a school. But see, the thing with a schoolmaster is somebody gonna try and find a way around the law. Somebody gonna try to find a loophole. There's got to be a loophole somewhere. I actually have taught my students that when I was teaching them about persuasion, I taught them about persuasion. And I was telling them about attorneys. I said, good attorneys always find a loophole in a law. I said, now some people may not agree that they're good attorneys, but they gonna look for a loophole. That's like one of the top things. I don't know how I know that, but I just know that's the top thing. If you can find a loophole in the law, you can go back and forth between that and stand right there in the middle of it because it's a loophole. Like, well, it didn't say this. That's how some attorneys win those big cases because they found a loophole in the law. And the fact that with purity culture, it was like, do this, this, and this, and this. Okay, well, what if I do this? Because you didn't say you couldn't do that. And all it does is teaches us to be sneaky. And it's like, that's what purity culture taught us. It taught us to be sneaky. It taught everybody to be sneaky and how to sneak around and do the sin. That's literally what it, and I know I'm gonna get a lot of back, I'll probably get a lot of backlash on that. Okay, well, so it taught us to be sneaky. It taught us to hide sin. So therefore, now we got another problem. Now we can look religious, but we're still doing stuff in the dark. So now we're no better than the Pharisees that were in the Bible that Jesus called hypocrites and serpents and the other stuff. Yeah. So the law, the schoolmaster, the law was to show us we need Jesus, and we definitely need Jesus. We need Jesus. He made us free from the bondage of sin and death. He made us free. We all need Jesus. I need Jesus every single day. I need Jesus just for my mind. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every single day. Every time I take a breath, I need Jesus. Every second that I am sitting in this world, I need Jesus. I need all of him. I can't do this without him. I don't see how anybody is walking this earth without Jesus, especially in this day and age. I don't see how you're doing it. Because you are not a superhero. You are not a part of Marvel or DC. You're not a superhero. How are you walking around without Jesus? I need all of him. I can't do this with the attacks that I have gone through. I thought about that today. I went through so much stuff between 2021 to the end of last year for like what, 3 years straight? If I told y'all every single thing I went through, I told y'all a good bit of it, but if I told y'all every single thing I went through, y'all would be scared. And the only reason why I'm still sitting here is because of Jesus. So if you don't have Jesus, I highly recommend that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I highly recommend that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you need Jesus, it's time to choose him. Because right now, you are operating in the law of the flesh. See, you're going to operate in one law or another. You're either going to operate in the law of the flesh or you're going to operate in the law of the spirit. The spirit is life. You operating in the flesh, you're operating in death. So you got to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You're either going to serve the God of heaven and earth through his son, Jesus Christ, or you're going to serve your flesh. And the wages of sin is death. You're going to have to pay them. You're going to have to pay them wages one day. My boy, my girl, you're going to have to pay them wages one day. But see, when you accept Jesus, he takes care of that. He foots the bill for you because he already did all of that on Calvary when he died on a cross. He already did all of that on the cross. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we could pray this prayer right now. Because the most important relationship for everyone, every single one of us, is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And choosing to believe that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God and the only way to salvation, and receiving him by faith as your Lord and Savior, is the most vital act anyone will ever do. You want life. We want life. And he is life. We need cleansing. We need salvation. He is the living water. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, but you want to right now, repeat after me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Come reign in my heart, fill me with your love and your life, and help me to become a person who is truly loving, a person like you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me. Love through me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer, you now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now a child of God. You are now in the family. Congratulations. All right, y'all. I have got to go. I mean, heaven is rejoicing. So y'all need to be shouting over there. Heaven is rejoicing. Every angel rejoices when somebody gives their life to Christ. So I got to go. But I hope y'all have a great week. And congratulations to those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Please do this. Make sure that you find a body of Christ. Make sure you find a church home that preaches the unadulterated word of God. Make sure you find a church home that preaches the word of God. You can follow my church, Bethel Evangel Community Church, on YouTube and join us for Sunday service online. It's a bunch of videos on there to strengthen and build you up in the faith. Okay. Also make sure you read Proverbs every day, one proverb a day. Because it's like 31 proverbs. It's 31 proverbs. So it's one for every day of the month. Make sure you do that. And make sure you also read the book of John. Make sure you read the book of John. Okay. But make sure you get with a church home that is preaching the word of God. It's very hard to find these days, but pray and God will send you someone. He will send you to a church. He will send someone to you. He will lead you some kind of way. He'll work it out. Okay. But I hope y'all have a great week, and I will talk to y'all next time. Bye.